The second week of testimony in the murder trial of Derek Chauvin wraps up today, and we'll spend some time now reviewing key moments. On Monday, Minneapolis Police Chief Maderia Arredondo testified against his former officer, saying Chauvin's use of force violated the department's policies when he pinned George Floyd to the ground with his knee.
To continue to apply that level of force to a person proned out, handcuffed behind their back, that in no way, shape, or form is anything that is by policy, is not part of our training, and it is certainly not part of our ethics or our values.
On Tuesday, Minneapolis Police Lieutenant Johnny Mercil testified that they do train officers to place a knee on someone's shoulder if the suspect is resisting arrest. But Mercil said what Chauvin was doing wasn't allowed.
And how long, based on your training and experience, does it typically take to render a person unconscious using a neck restraint?
My experience is under 10 seconds.
Under 10 seconds?
Yes, sir.
Now, when a neck restraint is applied, does the Minneapolis Police Department specifically train people to be cautious when reviving or attempting to revive a suspect?
I'm not sure I understand the question, sir.
In your experience, after a person has been rendered unconscious using a neck restraint, is it possible for them to continue to fight after they come back to consciousness?
It is possible, yes.
Have you experienced that personally?
I have not experienced somebody fighting after neck restraint.
Okay. But you're aware the Minneapolis Police Department trains people that is a possibility.
Yes, sir.
And in fact, sometimes they can be just as aggressive or even more aggressive after coming to consciousness.
That is possible, yes.
Chauvin's defense team also argued that the crowd that had gathered to witness the arrest distracted the officer. Here's Officer Nicole McKenzie speaking to Chauvin's lawyer.
Have you ever had to perform emergency services in not even a hostile crowd, just a loud, excited crowd?
Yes.
Is that, in your experience, more or less difficult?
It's incredibly difficult.
Why?
Because if you're, trying to be heads down on a patient that you need to, render aid to, it's very difficult to focus on that patient while there's other things around you. If you don't feel safe around you, if you don't have enough resources, it's very difficult to focus on the one thing in front of you.
It can be distracting.
Absolutely.
And so does it make it more difficult to assess a patient?
It does.
Does it make it more likely that you may miss signs that a patient is experiencing something?
Yes.
Okay. And so the distraction can actually harm the potential care of the patient.
Yes.
The defense also tried to show that drugs found in Floyd's blood contributed to his death, but experts testified they found no evidence of an overdose. Pulmonologist Martin Tobin said fentanyl did not affect Floyd's breathing. In fact, it was a lack of oxygen that killed him.
So that was roughly a 17-second clip?
Right.
Is that number, the respiratory rate of 22, significant to this case?
It's extremely significant.
Why is that?
Because one of the things in this case is the question of fentanyl. And if fentanyl is having an effect and it's causing depression of the respiratory centers, the centers that control breathing, that's going to result in a decrease in the respiratory rate. And it's shown that with fentanyl, you expect a 40% reduction in the respiratory rate. So with fentanyl, his respiratory rate should be down at around 10. Instead of that, it's right in the middle of normal at 22.
Dr. Tobin said it was Chauvin who played a key role in Floyd's death. He described how much weight the officer pressed on Floyd's neck.
So, Dr. Tobin, what do we see here in Exhibit 943?
What we're seeing is that half of his body weight plus half his gear weight is coming down. That's 91.5 pounds is coming down directly on Mr. Floyd's neck.
Is that all we see?
And the reason we're seeing that is because the toe is off the ground, and there is no body weight sitting back. He's not hunkering back on his heels. So everything is directed down on his knee. In this place, his shin and his toe and his boot is playing no contribution.
The prosecution brought another medical witness to the stand. Dr. Bill Smock is a surgeon. He works for the Louisville Metro Police Department. The prosecution asked him about CPR and when it should have been performed on George Floyd.
So in the interest of time this afternoon, I won't show the additional video, Dr. Smock, and I want to ask you about a different subject, and that relates to CPR. Could you tell us about the importance of timing with respect to performing CPR?
The sooner we start compressions and ventilations, the higher, the more successful our resuscitation rates will be.
At what point should CPR have been commenced with respect to Mr. Floyd?
Way before it was. As soon as Mr. Floyd is unconscious, he should have been rolled over. We have documentation on the video that the officer says, "I can't find a pulse." Why? That's clearly. But when you look at the video, it should have been started way before. Should have been rolled over, checked his respirations. But clearly, when they can't find a pulse, CPR should have been started.
Thank you, Dr. Smock. No further questions.
Testimony in the trial of Derek Chauvin continues today. Witness testimony is expected to run through the end of next week.